Reading this morning is from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not keep what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Well, I wonder if you can identify these types of seed that are going to come up on the screen. Three types of seeds. Here's the first one. Do you recognize what those seed are? What would they become if you planted those in the ground? Any guesses from behind masks? Muffled guesses? Sunflower. Okay, let's see. Oh, did it come up before? Oh, good, Paul. Well done. We don't want any cheating. What about next one? What about those? Slightly harder. No guesses. Well, sesame seeds. Yeah, close. Go on, Paul. It's actually a cucumber. Cucumber seeds. Last one. Now, these look like teeth, but they're not. They're actually seed. What would they become? Any guesses? No, stumped. GCSE, science, gone amok. Sweet corn, they would be. Interesting. Now, I could end the sermon there, and that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? You've learned something about three seeds. But the point is this: when you plant seed in the ground, when you plant each of those seed in the ground, you expect something to happen, don't you? You expect a sweet corn seed to become a sweet corn plant and to bear fruit, sweet corn. Well, in a way, that's what James is helping us to do in this next section, verses 19 to 27. He's saying God's word in us should bear fruit. I look back at verse 18, just before this section. James has brought an image to us. Verse 18 says, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. You've been born again, James is saying, through trusting in the word of truth, that word about Jesus, that the truth about his death and resurrection, the truth of the promise that if we come to Jesus and repent of our sins, then he will forgive us and we will become part of his family. James now takes this idea on a further step. Birth through trusting in Christ means that this word of truth is now planted within us. Look down at verse 21. Therefore, James says, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So if you're a Christian this morning, there's something planted within us that wasn't there before. Our eyes have been opened, James is saying. The word of truth is in us. The word of truth, and trusting in it, is what saves us. End of verse 21. But that word of truth that's been planted in us should produce fruit, James is going to say. Now we're going to split this section in two. Our time this morning is going to be looking at verses 19 to 21. And then next week we're going to be looking at verses 22 to 27. And in our verses this morning, there are a couple of things that we can see James is helping us to form in our minds or help us understand. Here's the first of those. Human anger is not a produce of the word planted in us. Again, look down in verse 19 to 20. Everyone, notice that word, everyone, should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, there's a helpful distinction we need to make here right at the beginning. James is not talking about righteous anger. Righteous anger is a right reaction to God's name or his honor being downtrodden. Invariably in the Bible, this type of anger is reserved for God alone. James isn't talking about that. James is steering us towards a type of anger that we encounter or experience day by day, often within the relationships we have with one another. Now, we might well initially just say, well, hang on a minute, James, why go straight to anger? Why couldn't you do something else? Why go to this particular thing, human anger? Surely there are other things you could have focused on. Well, there are two things which I think we see in these verses which human anger, or we need to be aware of with human anger. First of all, first of these is this. Human anger is part of the life we have been saved from. See, verse 21 helps us to see how we are to view anger. It's quite strong language, isn't it? Beginning of verse 21. Get rid of all moral filth and evil. We might think, well, what's James talking about? What's he referring to when he's describing that filth and evil? Well, surely it's a reference to what he's just been talking about in verse 20. Human anger. What's so bad about human anger is the next question we might ask. Well, the simple response is this. Human anger rarely, if ever, comes from pure motives. At its core, human anger is often self-righteous anger. See, there are many underlying reasons why we might get angry. The weariness of a long day, the worry of a situation or an upcoming appointment we might have, the frustration of circumstances we're in, feeling wronged by someone else. Or maybe we've just been known as a character with a hot temper. All of those things are underlying reasons why we might get angry. And when the heat comes on in this way, our natural response is sometimes to explode with anger. And James wants us to see, particularly, rushing towards anger is something we need to avoid, not embrace. Human anger is often aimed at building ourselves up, speaking aggressively to one another, getting them to listen to our opinion, or seeking to squash someone else. James highlights those things as moral filth, evil. And James isn't the only one to make the links with anger in this way. We're reminded of a song, a children's song, weren't we? Earlier on in our service, Fruit, singer, Fruit of the Spirit, a collection of attributes that come together that we should be exhibiting as Christians. Well, before that verse in Galatians 5, Paul makes a list of the very opposite
of that fruit. He lists these things. The acts of the flesh, an old way of living, are obvious, Paul says. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. We can kind of understand how those things are part of a way of life that God wouldn't want. But then Paul moves on. Another group: hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. They are all types of behavior that go along with human anger. And those kind of behaviors, attitudes, lifestyles, they're what you've been saved from, Paul says. Those things aren't a produce of the life-giving word through the Holy Spirit. One of the trips I used to arrange when I was teaching was the annual PGL trip. Anyone been on a PGL trip? Yeah, a few of you, a few kids as well. Those trips are basically excuses for teachers and children to try dangerous things they wouldn't normally try. So you have the trapeze. Anyone done the trapeze? You done the trapeze? Trapeze, for those of you who don't know, is you have a telegraph pole, probably about as high as this building. And you have to climb it. And then when you get to the top, you have to stand. And it's probably no bigger than that, so you're kind of wobbling all over the place. And then you have to jump off the top and catch a bar a few meters away. Now it's safe, you are strapped up. But that's one of the things you do. Giant swing is another one, attached to a swing, about, again, as high as this roof. And you're pulled back by your group. And then you pull out a pin that you're harnessed to, and you swing kind of in a quite aggressive way. They're great fun, those things. I enjoyed them. But one thing I didn't enjoy was called the tunnel trail. Now, the tunnel trail involved crawling through muddy tunnels for 45 minutes. Now, to some, that's a dream. To me, it wasn't, because I ended up looking, more often than not, like this. Caked in mud. In fact, stinking of mud. And the lesson I quickly learned as I went on these trips was that the clothes I wore in the tunnel trail were not clothes that I could wear again. They were either engraved with or stank of mud. And that's how we're to kind of think of the things that are part of our old nature, including human anger. Human anger is something we need to push back against, in the same way we'd push back against sexual immorality. We need to push back against those emotions, those human anger. They are clothes we should not desire to wear again. They are unfit for purpose. But not only is human anger what we've been saved from, human anger also has, secondly, the capacity to destroy relationships. It's interesting to note James' opening words in this section. Brothers and sisters, beginning of verse 19. Family. What's the one of the ways that relationships within a family can be ruined or destroyed? Well, it's doing the very opposite of what James encourages us to do in verse 19. The best way of destroying relationships in a family is to be slow to listen to one another, to be quick to say what we think towards that other person, and to allow a combination of that to then build up to anger in our hearts and in our minds and in our words. The story goes of a person being confronted of their quick temper. And in response to this challenge, the other person said this: "You don't need to worry about my anger. It is short-lived. It's not that bad. It's usually over in less than a minute." But the friends, wanting to push the point home further, replied in this way: Well, that's fine, I understand that. But a shotgun is over in just a second. And look at the damage a shotgun does in that time. Things said in anger are rarely measured. And they don't desire often the other person's goods. That's the nature of self-righteous anger. An angry word can undo countless years of friendship. An angry word can also not easily be forgotten by the person who's been spoken to. But anger isn't just seen in our words, is it? I've been reading this little book this week by Ed Welsh, a book about anger. And he highlights three different types of anger, different ways that you might see anger expressed or seen, or maybe different ways anger that you might express it. He talks about, firstly, hot anger. Hot anger is jealousy, rage, wrath, murder or murderous intent, and envy, very similar to that list in Galatians chapter 5. But you can also have something called covert anger. The type of anger you display towards someone, but in a covert, in what you think is a secret way. Covert anger involves this: sarcasm towards that other person. Gossip about that other person. Maybe eye rolling when they speak or when their name is mentioned in conversation. Constant complaining or undermining. Covert anger. But there's also a final one that he calls cold anger. Cold anger is to give someone the silent treatment, to avoid them, to not respond to them when they say hello, to withdraw or be critical of them. They are all different forms of anger within us. And anger within us always has the same capacity to destroy relationships. We could add a fourth one to that list, I think. Virtual anger. Sending emails or messages on social media laced with anger. That's something that I think in our day and age is an extra. But the thing is, if we see church as a body, then we're not going to want to hurt other parts of the body, are we? If my hand decides to bash my foot with a hammer, then my whole body is affected. It's painful. I walk with a limp. Other joints begin to hurt. Nerves shoot all through my body. Well, that's what happens when we damage other parts of the body, and that's what anger can do. Eleanor Roosevelt once famously said this: anger is one letter short of danger. And that's how James wants us to see human anger. It is dangerous for our hearts. And it's dangerous and damaging for our relationships with one another. It is not a produce of the words planted in us, James says. But secondly, James says this: the word should produce relationships of patience, understanding. Now, I think James's advice is sensible advice for any relationships that we have, be it at home or in a workplace or amongst those we spend time with. But James particularly seems to zone in on believers living alongside one another. And as James writes, he wants us to see the beauty of living together. Throughout his letter, he's reminding us of a family we belong to. That's why he keeps using that phrase, brothers and sisters, part of a family, living alongside one another. But at the same time, James isn't oblivious to the challenges that that presents. Living with others is challenging. Come round to the Fry household on any given day and at any given time, and you'll see those challenges lived out. The challenges of understanding different characters in that family. What's a joke to one person is an offence to another. The challenge of embracing different gifts and skills that make the family function efficiently. Throw into the mix the lives we have outside of the house and how we bring those family or behaviours home. The challenge of seeing sin in ourselves and not just pointing the finger at the other person. They're just some of the challenges we have as a family, and I'm sure that's replicated in other households. And that's just a challenge to our blood family. Think of a church family. Think how many of those things that we struggle with or are a challenge are multiplied when it comes to a spiritual family. The church is a beautiful but an eclectic mix of characters, different people. It's a community which people from all different nations are invited to. Within the church, there are passions, experiences, convictions. And when all of these things are brought together, there is a potential for huge good and beauty to be displayed as we see one another and as others watch us. Yet that good and beauty will only ever be seen if we take James's words seriously here. See, a danger that we are within with our church family is that we relate to each other out of ignorance or frustration sometimes. Part of being a family is getting to know one another better, spending time with one another, having people in our homes understanding each other's characters and passions more. It's amazing the barriers that are broken down when we do that. James is saying too often we don't behave like that. When we don't spend time listening and are too quick to speak, then those relationships will only go in one direction. Heated exchanges, ruined relationships, a family where we don't know the assurance of a warm embrace, but rather just a cold shoulder. Our relationships, James said, should be flavoured with ears willing to listen to one another and tongues that are slow to speak in those relationships. Even with that person we find really awkward, whose character rubs up against ours or whose convictions don't match with ours. Even with that brother or sister who maybe upset us years ago. Relationships that have a depth to them. Those types of relationships are the types of relationships where anger is often avoided. Philippians chapter 2, Paul reinforces what James is painting for us here. We listed those same verses earlier in the kids' talk. I didn't know that they were going to be used, but they're helpful to remind us of the church community that we should be having. Paul says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any communion sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. And then he says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. See, that ties in with human anger. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other person. Isn't that just what James is saying in verse 19 and 20? Becoming a Christian begins with humility. It involves realizing we cannot rescue ourselves. We're dependent upon God's gift to us in Christ. But continuing in the Christian faith also involves humility. A humility in our interaction with each other. Valuing other members of the body more than yourselves. Isn't that a challenge? That's one of the fruits God expects when his word is planted in us. That ability to listen, be slow to anger, to love. And we do that because that's what the father of our family is like. Families share traits, whether we like it or not, don't they? Some of them good, some of them bad. Things we look like, or the way we look like. Behaviors. And James is highlighting here for us that the word of truth planted in us grows and shapes us to be more like our Father. And what is our Father like? In Exodus chapter 4, God gives us a picture of himself. And he says this, "The Lord's the Lord's, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." See, we are called to patience and a slowness in anger because that's who our Father is. That's the family trait we should have as believers in Christ. As we close, here are three questions that might be worth thinking through as we go away into this new week. Very quickly, what has God shown me? What is James showing us? But what has God shown me this morning that I may need to repent of? So we read those verses. What might I need to repent of? Second question, what has God's word shown me that I need God's Spirit's help with in my life? What's he put his finger on that maybe I need to, with his help, seek to address? And what relationships do I need to pray over or seek to mend in the coming days with another brother or sister where things aren't quite right, where maybe I exhibit cold anger or covert anger or maybe even hot anger? Can I encourage you, three questions to think through in light of these verses. Well, let's pray before we're led in song. Our Father in heaven, once again we're grateful for your words to us. We're grateful for the words that's been planted in us, the words that we trust in, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, by which we come to faith. And we recognize that that word, that faith that we've received, that gift, is that seed that should produce fruit in our lives. So please forgive us where our lives do not bear that fruit, where the produce of our lives is not righteousness that you desire, but rather leads us away from you into ways that we used to behave, things that we've been called away from, safe from. Please forgive us if that's true of us. And please help us as we seek to understand in our own hearts and then live out this call that James makes. We do pray that as a church community, as individuals within that church community, we would be those who are slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger, because we know the danger of relating in that way. So please help us. We need your Spirit's help as we seek to live like this, as we seek to allow your words and your Spirit to massage our hearts and our lives into lives which bring you righteousness. In your name, amen.